Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
One o'clock hour here on Cody and Gold. Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. We'll have Nate Taylor in a couple minutes joining us in studio from The Athletic to talk about the draft a little bit more, get his perspective on that. Travis Kelce getting a nice raise from the Chiefs, and if he read it the same way we did, which is, hey, it's basically this two-year window now for Travis Kelce. Like, I think he's going to give it his all for another 2 years, and then don't be surprised at all if that would be the end of his NFL career. We'll see if Nate agrees based on conversations he's having. Where can some of the money go? All that we'll get into. Plus, I imagine we'll ask Nate about Dave and Buster's and the ability, I guess, in the very near future for people and kids to bet against each other on Papa Shot, which is interesting to say the least. Gonna have some guy hustling kids at Dave and Buster's, man. There's gonna be
not kids, 18-year-olds. That's adults.
Yeah, there's gonna be, you know, you're gonna have, you know, Ryan in the corner over there just camped out at Papa Shot, and poor Billy comes over and is gonna say, I'm playing Papa Shot. Oh, do you want to go up against me? Sure, I'll bet you $5. And this guy's just gonna hustle kids, 18-year-olds, all day on Papa Shot. Nate Taylor is a Papa Shot king, from what I've been told.
It's a life lesson in how not to get hustled. Everyone in life is trying to hustle your ass. Mm-hmm. Your employer, some of the other people around you, the government. You got no choice. Learn this lesson early.
Learn it at Dave and Buster's, huh?
Yeah. Come on the hard streets of Dave and Buster's.
I just think you're going to have
some dude burning the heater in the corner.
I just think you're going to have fights. I just think it's going to cause problems. You're going to have the 7 and 8 year old casually playing Papa Shot, and then you're going to have Cody and Drew cursing at each other over $5 in Papa Shot next to the 7-year-old.
I would argue that we could already do that at Dave and Buster's, though. Just via Venmo, not via the app. That's all.
Yeah. Did he really say the government is trying to hustle us?
What's up, Nate?
Hello.
Let's see if we can get the microphone here. We got you on camera as well. Let's see if we raise the microphone up a little bit so there we go. There
Hilarious.
We go. Hey, there he is.
You know, Nate, it's an important life lesson, and people are trying to come after you. That's all.
Sure. Sure.
Have you had a chance to take a deep breath? I know weekend you're just camped out at Arrowhead the whole time.
Right. No. I feel like my body clock is starting to get back to normal, but man, you're just on the phone quite a bit. You're up late at night. I mostly feel pretty good, and I just want to remind people that, you know, we go from the highest of the highs, right? The Super Bowl, like the grandest sporting event in all of our beloved country, to rookie mini camp.
That's not a fun one.
This is, I mean, sure, if you want to call it organized practice from guys who just
no pads.
No pads. Does anybody really know the playbook? Line it up again. Line it up. Like, just huddle up. Just I just love that you go from, like, the very top of the sport to literally the bottom, which is like, hey, we drafted you. Like, nice to meet you.
Here's 50 players we aren't planning on seeing in August.
At all. And, let's see if we can get a couple good reps on tape.
What's your feel on how they approach the draft? You know, five offensive guys out of the 7 picks. That was a clear emphasis. They continued. It looked like just going with athletes and hoping they can coach them up.
Yeah. And it's also, you know, what I wrote in The Athletic yesterday was just this entire draft was about improving the offense, but in reality, you know, supporting Patrick Mahomes, giving Patrick Mahomes every resource possible that you had at your disposal, not just for the chance of having a rare three-peat, but sort of sustaining the overall dynasty, the overall excellence of the franchise. You know, it's easier in today's NFL to be good year over year on offense than it is to do it on defense. You can have some slippage, or you could just have a couple guys, you know, leave or get injured, and your defense can become very mediocre. So the Chiefs already had one of the best defenses in the league. They unfortunately can't pay everybody, so Legarius Sneed goes to Tennessee. So this offseason was about improving the offense and getting more potency, more lethal, you know, more explosiveness downfield. And in order to do that, you have to have two things. You have to have your quarterback's blind side be protected. That's where Kingsley Sutomaitia comes in. And you also have to have someone who's open downfield, and that's where Xavier Worthy comes into play. So it's clear to me that this was really about the offense, but even further than that, it's about making sure Patrick Mahomes feels comfortable and he has as many capable players around him based on the Herculean job he did last season.
Small housekeeping thing, Nate, you have to move the mic closer to your face.
Why?
Apparently you're too quiet.
I'm too quiet?
I think it's because you're used to, you know, you're trying to look at us when you talk, yes, which is nice.
Which we do appreciate.
But, yes.
You know, I also like looking at you.
Sure. Unreal.
Sorry. But
it's
second,
okay.
How do you...
Is this through the text line?
Yeah.
Thank you guys for listening.
But also, when you look at, like, what they're going to do with Worthy, is he just automatic, penciled in, that's the three guy? Or do you think there's a chance of the gap year like they do with a lot of young players where I'll see you in maybe November or December if you are getting a handle on it. Where do we put in Worthy? Because they haven't spent a first-round pick on a wide receiver in a while, Nate.
Exactly.
I mean, it's been a long time since they spent a first-round pick on a wide receiver.
This is the first time in the Brett Veach era, and they traded up to go get the guy that Patrick Mahomes was most interested in playing with once you knew really the big three, and you can include, you know, Thomas Bryant Jr. He probably wasn't going to be there in the 20s. That ended up being the case. So, look, hey, of the guys that we think are going to be available in that late first round, this is the guy that we want. This is the guy that we've comped to DeSean Jackson. All that tells me is how many nines, posts, and corners can he run?
Yeah. Plenty, probably, based on his college tape.
Right. So he doesn't have to do, like, the full route tree. I think that's a ton to ask of any rookie receiver, even if you're Marvin Harrison Jr. But I do think he'll have a good role of maybe setting things up for Travis Kelce in the intermediate. You know, maybe he'll have some double routes, you know, some double moves where he can go out and up and see if you can defeat a defender one-on-one because, you know, the attention is going to be on Kelce. Marquise Brown has already demonstrated that he can do that, so he'll probably get more respect, at least from defensive coordinators early on in the season.
Than anyone else last year, for sure.
Right. And, you know, you still have Rashee Rice whenever the suspension is concluded. He can come back and sort of be your underneath guy, your big slot, you could argue. And look, they can still get the ball to Xavier in the short game. It would just be bubble screens, jet sweeps, a little bit of some trickery here and there as sort of a mini gadget guy. But I think his role is mostly to, you know, and this is going to be more difficult than I think most fans realize, but can he be an upgrade to Marquez Valdez-Scantling, even though he is not the same size? But he is the faster of the player. So if he can connect on even one deep ball a game, he will have improved the role that they already had within the offense.
And last year, sure, he had 320 yards.
Yes.
Yeah, obviously had some big catches in the playoffs.
But again, you're asking that from a rookie who's playing at about 175. Is what you hope when the season begins.
What's the realistic long-term outlook, though, for Worthy? Because we know he's a $160. The Chiefs already acknowledged they need him to put on some weight. I don't know if you, I'm sure we'll have a Nate Taylor athletic piece in August about.
We said the Keon Coleman guy.
We'll have a Nate Taylor athletic piece in August about all the different foods he's been eating for months and months. And when he shows up at a $168 or something in training camp. But realistically, what's the outlook long-term? Because I think you would love to be sitting here a year from now when Hollywood Brown's coming off a great year. He goes and gets paid, and the Chiefs probably aren't able to afford him, but the Chiefs are coming off a great year with him, and Worthy can slide next year into Hollywood Brown's role.
Potentially.
Okay.
Sure. I think the Chiefs, if things were to go really well, would like to sign Marquise Brown to an extension or, okay, you know, a new contract.
Felt like Brett Veach was already preparing for not, yes, being able to sign, yeah, him, though.
That's true. Because, you know, if the highlights go a certain way, then every team's going to be like, whoa, he might be one of the better receivers on the market next spring, which is honestly the case. That's one of the reasons why he was more in favor of the 1 year deal versus like a 2 year deal, in essence.
Although he was the best wide receiver on the market this year.
You could argue. Yes, you, mm-hmm, can make that argument. Calvin Ridley would like to disagree.
Yeah. He also wasn't coming off his best year. Hollywood's, right, argument is, I can be coming off my best year and be the best wide receiver on the market.
Yes. So the Chiefs said, hey, what about a 2 year deal? And no, let's keep it to a year. And I'm going to get those incentives now, right? Because I'm going to be the number one. Yes. This is obviously before we knew what was going to happen with Rashee Rice. But obviously, he's clearly the number one receiver now, with the assumption, with the belief, the expectation, I should say, that, you know, Rashee Rice is going to be suspended. At least to start the regular season is sort of the expectation right now.
Oh, really? Okay, we can get back to that in a second. Mm-hmm. I was going to ask you about the timeline.
I think the NFL will... with Rashee Rice, I think the NFL will take it all the way through much of August and then make a decision, you would think, by like a couple preseason games in. That way,
won't he need his legal thing sorted out by
then?
They
always, Cody, they always say, no, we're going to let the legal process play out. How bad is it? All right. And of course, as
can't
I said,
just let him show up week one,
yeah,
on a solo stage with the Chiefs on the Thursday night opener again.
Okay. It's possible because the Player Association can get involved, and there's ways to maybe delay this, but it ultimately comes down to Roger Goodell, and why would he want that storyline on opening night of his, sure, NFL season? Especially when you know that what the Eagles play the Packers in Brazil the, mm-hmm, next night. Crazy. That ain't happening. Based on, you know, what we've seen from a precedent standpoint. Now, they can say we're going to wait for the legal process to play out, but at the same time, there's video of it. He's already acknowledged that, like, yeah, I messed up, which is the only argument he has. So you could say it's already a clear violation of the personal conduct policy, which is basically what the league has already said. I think Roger Goodell basically said that's what we're sort of investigating right now. Last week when the draft was kicking off in Detroit, was like, it's...
But he's admitted to it.
It's a clear violation. If you want to just read it, look, you know, from a legal standpoint, it's a clear violation of the personal conduct policy.
What's the expectation of games?
Now, this is where it gets a little bit more tricky. If the league wanted to be harsh, I've heard upwards of 10 games because it's a 17-game season.
Ooh, but, I mean, that's what Deshaun got, or 11.
Deshaun got 11. And, you know, that was a saga. So, again, that's the high. I think it's 10. The low is probably around 4 to 5, which likely means
6.
Player Association League gets together and says, all right, why do we want to just give them 6, okay? Can we appeal? Maybe. Maybe you can appeal it down to 4.
If you agree to 6, we'd like you to just agree to that number.
Bingo. And that's, you know what happened with Willie Gay? Yeah, take these 4. These 4 right now. Don't just like, And there was no video of that, and obviously that was more sort of domesticated issues versus obviously, you know, speed racing on a highway in the middle of the afternoon.
That's right. I was told that a 119 and a 111 in a Lambo is not actually that fast, guys.
Like, you've never done that.
I mean,
it
feels so smooth.
Yeah, yeah.
But all the other cars are whipping by me.
Someone's response was like, he probably didn't even get it into fourth gear. An excuse.
We don't need that right now.
Yeah.
You know, this is something that I've thought about, haven't gotten information on, really haven't asked since the very beginning, but like, where were they going? Where was destination?
Race to the end of the finish line.
But where, when does the race conclude? I mean, now we're like into pure on speculation mode, but like, where's the destination? Where we going?
I thought they're going to miss a movie time, you know? Just wanted to drive fast in a car like young people.
True.
Whoever could lose each other fastest.
True. I am the biggest grandpa driver in this entire station. I set cruise control all the time. I barely speed. I take it real nice and easy on the road.
He puts on cruise control when it's 40 on a normal street.
Now, that being said,
cracks his knuckles, lays back. Yeah.
I get my shoes on my shoehorn first.
Right.
And then I hit the old road before lunch.
Oh, my Lord.
Before hitting the buffet at 4:30. But even that said, at 19 years old, I would have driven fast. 20 years, you know, like, I probably had a propensity to take it up a notch there during that time.
That's when you got to have the old head to be like, look, I know the car can go fast, but you want that appeal. We don't need an impracticality. You just want to step out within that car, or you want to step into that car. And look, I don't know if Rasheed has a significant other in his life, but don't you want people to gawk at you? That's why you rent this thing. Outside of the practicality of, yes, it can go really fast, but like, you know.
Yeah, you spent $1,800 a day for that Lambo SUV.
I just want to know what the opposite sex is doing when you get in and out of the car. Not this. No. And you left the playbook, which is a whole other thing. That's hilarious. And you left the playbook?
Andy hated it.
Although, we say like that is somewhat hilarious. I still think the worst image, though, actually, you say it's bad he left the playbook in the back seat. I think it's worse if he's leaving the scene of an accident and he's holding the chief playbook. That's actually worse.
The visual secret,
that
is bad.
That would have been
secret
way worse.
Sauce right here. Hey, anybody got a bag to put this binder in?
That would have been way worse. The Chiefs logo, Kansas City Football Club, just fully displayed.
Yes, 2024 playbook, just right here. Now, obviously, we're having a little bit of a giggle time about this. Please don't do what Rasheed Rice did.
No.
If you have the capabilities of your car to go that fast. It's more about stunting. It's more about looking cool.
You have the car.
You already have it.
Accelerate to 70 faster than most people, but still, at some point, don't get to 119.
Don't you just, like, let's just cruise on this. It's a Saturday. Let's just cruise out in a fancy whip.
Text lines, and they're going to Dave and Buster's, perhaps. I'm not sure. We got Nate Taylor from The Athletic joining us in studio. Let's talk about the second round pick, a guy that I actually wanted to take in the first round. When we did our final prediction, I said, oh, they're taking Kingsley Suamataia at pick 32, or they might have to trade up. They get him in the second round, so I love the pick. What's realistic here? Is it just they're going to feel this thing out till camp and let the two young guys battle it out, or is Donovan Smith getting a call before training camp?
I don't know if Donovan Smith's getting a call before training camp. I remember I told Carrington last week that, like, oh, Donovan Smith's on the roster 70%. Because if you don't, my belief was at the time was like, hey, I'm guessing 70%, 75% the Donovan Smith's on the roster, because once you choose not to take a tackle in the first round, it gets really hard to find a guy that you think can start on day one.
Or anybody, really, not just your team. Right. Most teams in the league.
Most teams will tell you that. But the Chiefs are really intrigued by Kingsley, and it's not every year that a guy of his caliber falls to 63, you know, potentially there for 64, but you're like, let's just trade up because, you know, he's our biggest need and we really like the prospect. Now, I want to remind people that they took 6 quarterbacks in the first 12 picks, all right? The first 14 were offensive players. First defensive player got a neck issue, you know. Just
23 players on offense taken in the first
round. In the first round, yeah. And, of course, there was receivers a plethora in the first 2 rounds. So that all these things sort of allow you to understand why Kingsley would fall in a normal draft year where he would be, like, low first round, early second round.
Yeah.
So all that in mind, I don't think Donovan Smith's going to get a call because another team may pursue him, and now he is traditionally a legitimate free agent. You know, I was told, I'm trying to get my dates right, because, like, the new league year is, like, middle of March, so maybe, like, after the first wave of, like, free agency, like, the first week or whatever, that, like, hey, you know, why would Donovan Smith want to join any other team when he can just re-sign with the Chiefs? And, like, well, will it be part of the, like, you know, could he be part of the compensatory formula nonsense, yada, yada, yada. Yeah, but, like, the Chiefs don't have any money right now, and they got to get, you know, they got to trade L'Jarius Sneed for, like, cash expenditures and all these other things. But now it's like Brett Veach said basically yesterday that, like, we're going to let Wanya Morris, a second-year player, who, as I said to you guys before, probably more swing tackle traditionally than starting left tackle, is going to ballot out against Kingsley, who is a left tackle, who played left tackle in college, played it pretty well, and is bigger and more athletic. At least that's how the Chiefs are billing him entering the league. So with that being the case, now Donovan Smith is a true traditional free agent, and if another team who he thinks is a legitimate contender wants to give him a one-year deal, he is more in his prerogative to listen to that deal versus, you know, waiting for the Chiefs to make a decision on what they were going to do about that position.
What would they do with the cash? Sorry. Like, they're going to have extra money this year, more than normal in the cap. Do they spend it?
Probably not. They could more than likely roll that money over into next year's salary cap, which you always have to keep in mind to some degree. You could use some of that money for a trade, which Brett Veach likes to do around the trade deadline so that you have, you know, some flexibility from a financial standpoint. And, you know, if you know that you're going to potentially give extensions between now and maybe the season opener, you know, you have a little bit more money to move in that regards too, to where you don't have to super backload an extension to where you could maybe evenly spread it out more. There's like five avenues you could go with that money. But some teams, if they weren't contending for the Super Bowl, would say, we're going to save that money for next year, or we're going to roll over a large portion of that to next year. The Chiefs are not in that case. So there's about, again, four to five different things that they could do with that money if they are really intent on signing Creed Humphrey, getting Nick Bolton done, knowing that Nick Bolton is going to cost more than, like, the average linebacker, because that's what he's demonstrated, and he's the second-round pick. And you're trying to mitigate him getting a free agency the same way you are with Creed Humphrey. So they have a little bit of money, but they can use it up really quickly between now and, like, November when the trade deadline is.
Is Nick Bolton or Creed Humphrey the next big news item?
From a contract standpoint?
For the Chiefs?
Probably. I think the smarter person in the room would say that you should probably prioritize Creed Humphrey because he plays with Patrick Mahomes. He's the one who helps pick up, you know, the defensive line. The Chiefs don't get beat on blitzes very often. And part of that is because of not only the coaching staff, but it extends to the players, and that's quarterback center. Is Creed Humphrey an all-pro?
Yes.
Yeah, you probably want to do that now, or between now and training camp. Nick Bolton could get a little bit frisky. You did, you know, hedge it a little bit with, you know, Drew Tranquil, who's got a legit, like, two-year contract. But I think the preference would probably be, again, this is just educated guess, would probably be Creed, Nick Bolton, and then Trey Smith. Now, let's say things will go well with Nick Bolton in his contract extension talks. Well, then you could pivot to Trey Smith.
We'll talk thinking of money that was handed out. Travis Kelce, of course, gets a raise. I want to get Nate's thoughts on that. And the text line was asking about an article you had. Maybe Drew's Cincinnati Bengals actually stole somebody from the Chiefs. That's coming up next.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Cody and Gold. We got Nate Taylor from The Athletic hanging out with us. I wanted to get Nate's perspective on Travis Kelce's raise. Initially, mixed reporting out there from some national folks that it was an extension. No, it's a raise. Fill us in again. It's a raise. It's not an extension.
Technically, he was extended.
Isn't this just them taking care of a guy that's been unbelievable for this organization in City? Give him a raise. Make him the highest paid tight end. And let's run this thing for two more years, and that's probably it?
I believe so. Yes. We all need to prepare ourselves for the what could be the last couple years of Travis Kelce's illustrious, you know, Hall of Fame career.
I don't like it.
I knew you were going to say that. What this tells me is that the Chiefs have wanted to, you know, put it to bed to a degree, although I think it's, I'm going to get to like the small footnote.
Sure.
Put to bed to a degree that, like, yes, he is the best tight end in the league. He should be compensated as the best tight end in the league. How much does Darren Waller make? This is where those fine print comes. How much does Darren Waller? He might not even be in the league.
Yeah, he's retiring.
He said he's rethinking that, and he's got some.
We got divorced.
Hey, man.
He got divorced.
Keep getting them checks, dog. How much does he make again? $17 million. What if we gave you 17 point ..
What? Honestly, it says a lot about Travis that he would take the just small discount because he is infinitely
better. That's what he's always
done.
Actually, this is the opposite. I know there's been some rumblings. I think somebody on Twitter, and I can't get to them right now, but they asked me, they're like, well, wasn't Travis the highest paid tight end at one point in 2020, and then killed Jarrett Kittle. It's like within
48 hours or something.
I don't even think it was. I think it was less than that. I think
it was like the same day.
Yes, I think it was honestly the same day, if my memory's correct. They may have signed it on different days, but technically it was like, all right, Super Bowl champion, Travis Kelce. And then the 49ers were like, cool, George Kittle. It's like literally within like hours, guys. So this is going to be the longest time, or, you know, as I wrote in The Athletic, this is the first true time he's been the highest paid tight end, because we don't think anybody's going to get a deal better than that before the start of the actual season. What happened in 2020 was he had it for like some hours.
Millisecond, yeah.
And then the season started, and guess who was the highest paid tight end in the league? George Kittle. So there's kind of semantics to all of this, but the Chiefs wanted to do right by him. I think it's a little bit different from what Travis has previously done, because he's always been like, I don't care. But they're like, how? But it's all guaranteed. It's all guaranteed. You're not cutting me in 2025. So yeah, that's also basically guaranteed. Yeah, I can sign that. Hey, I can come on down, run some routes with the boys, and then sign my contract.
That's literally what he did.
That is.
He one time on a New Heights episode, they were like, hey, you moved some money around. He's like, well, they just told me they'd give me more up front. The hell am I supposed to say no to that? It's like, same deal. They just wanted to give me more of it now.
Right. They just basically guaranteed $34 million upon signing, essentially. So, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and do that and, you know, say hi to Coach. What up, Beach? What do you think about the draft class? All right, let's take a photo together. He's a great player. And he's always been undervalued, which you could argue is the same thing about
the position. Yeah.
Yeah, the position. But you could say the same thing about Patrick Mahomes. You could say the same thing about Chris Jones. All these guys are theoretically underpaid, or their dollar amount does not actually meet their value on and off the field for the franchise. So it makes sense for everybody. It's a nice thing to add to the resume. And yeah, this prepares him, I think, mentally. He was always going to come back next year, which is totally fine. But it's like, okay, at some point, you got to be reasonable and start thinking about, like, how do you want your career to end? Because he's been very clear and demonstrative on the fact that I will never play for another team, kind of like Chris Jones. I want to be known sure. for being a Kansas City Chief, the team that obviously selected me in the draft. And so how do we get to, like, the end? What is the best way we can try to plan around this, both you, the player, and us, the organization? And this is what they've settled on. And so, you know, Jason Kelce didn't want to do it. And there are slightly different personalities between Jason Kelce, the former, you know, star center of the Philadelphia Eagles. Obviously, they have the podcast together. He's the older brother of Travis. Travis is a little more rambunctious, a little more ran out there. Now, what I'm saying is, hey, you signed this contract. 2025 is like, that's the off-ramp. From a marketing standpoint, from a just being beloved, getting your flowers and still playing. We see this, you know where I'm going. You know where I'm going, Alex. We see this all the time in tennis. This man, Rafael Nadal, told us that he's willing to die at the French Open in a couple weeks because that's it.
Yeah.
In essence, that will be his last Grand Slam tournament, as we've been told. In 2025, maybe after training camp, after you've punched a couple of teammates in St. Joseph, why don't you tell everybody, hey, this is going to be my last season.
The whole okay? year.
Whole so it's
year,
the whole man. Year of commercials. It's the whole year of marketing, of telling, really, TV executives, I'm ready to start transitioning. Do you want to be in movies? Because we know when we can start filming things, you know, whether you're in the Super Bowl or, you know, we got to wait till March. So I think this is the first indication that, yes, 2025 could be Travis Kelce's last season. He could go out, hopefully, on a very high note, mostly with his body intact and not taking the punishment that we've known that some tight ends have taken, which is just – it's a hard position to play in and of itself. But from a money standpoint and for the franchise and for himself – This is the start of them trying to plan out the best exit possible.
What percentage chance would you put that he plays a third year at the end of that? Just a third year. Just anything past the 2 years of his contract.
All right, here's how it goes. Let's say they win this year, right?
Three-peat.
Never been done before. Let's say him and Taylor are, like, even more serious. Taylor Swift, obviously. Let's say,
baby on the way. How far do you want to take?
Say, hey, you were almost pregnant. Should we just get married? Let's just do that. Like, cause, whoa, that was gonna change everybody's life. So, well, you know what? I love you. I love you too. We're ready to be parents anyway. We're in our mid to late 30s. Let's do it. So, hey, let's plan the wedding for the off season in 2025. But, and we've seen this before. The Chiefs somehow lose in the 2025 AFC Championship game.
To Jake Browning, because Joe Burrow won't be available. That's true.
And then Patrick's got to come with Andy, with Brett, Chris. One more year, baby.
Come on.
One more.
For
I mean,
us.
Taylor going to be take the baby's going to be fine. You're going to get married. She's going to have a kid. Yes. You guys are going to have a kid, I should say. Like, you got nannies out of the galore. It'll be great. Instead of, like your child will get to watch you play a couple downs when they were, like,
your kid will get to watch you play in the league.
Yeah! Cody, I'm trying to pull from any string.
Eight-month-old watching Travis Kelce.
In the
booth. If Mahomes' kid's got to get really good at football so that he decides to stick around like LeBron to play in the league, fine. I don't care.
I'm trying to pull any strings, guys. I mean, asked me a hypothetical. Fair. I am hypothetically giving nonsense.
But you're saying like a 98% chance he ain't ever playing a third year. There's just 2 years.
Not right now. Not right now.
I think it's two.
Two, not right
and
now.
Give his all for two more years and hopefully another title or two. To end his career. While we're real quick on the tight end position, then I didn't want to get your perspective on the stadium stuff. We know what Kansas is potentially going to do today. I will point out that the Senate and the House are both still in recess, so there has not even been – the bill hasn't even made it to the floor
right in
Topeka yet for the
– It'll get there.
Yeah.
How long have they been in recess? Like 3 hours?
Yeah, there's –
they're chilling.
But there's meetings. They're talking to council. All kinds of stuff goes on. Anyway.
Counting votes, Cody. It's what it's called. Counting votes.
Twisting arms. But there's other –
Hanging out.
There's other business they do. Anyway, tight end future at that position, not just for Kelsey. Noah Gray, final year of his contract this year. Is that what the Wiley pick is in the fourth round, that he hopefully is the guy that replaces Noah Gray so you don't have to pay him next year?
Yeah, most likely. And it's a selection where, does he give us a little bit more athleticism than maybe Noah Gray? Is he a bigger receiving threat than what Noah Gray has developed into? And I'm not saying Noah Gray is a bad football player. Noah Gray is a perfectly fine NFL secondary option player. I remember Andy Reid telling me at the combine, he's like, you should go back and watch Noah's tape from the Super Bowl and see how well he played. And it's more nuanced. It's, you know, he doesn't have a ton of receptions, but he's opening up things for Travis Kelce. He's doing a good job blocking. You may have to let him go, like Nick Allegretti, like Jerick McKinnon, like even maybe Donovan Smith. So this is where it gets tougher as a dynasty franchise. You're not going to give, you know, a second contract to a guy that is clearly worthy of one, because they have the draft. So, you know, we'll see what happens with Wiley in his first year. But they think he has the potential to be a really, really good receiving tight end. Not Travis Kelce, obviously. But who's like a mid-tier tight end in the league? Hayden Hurst? Could he be Hayden Hurst?
Okay.
You know, if he could be Hayden Hurst, then that would be great, you know?
By the way, most teams take that. Most teams will take the 625-yard tight end who can be relied upon most of the time.
Uh-huh.
Travis Kelce's don't exist. Travis Kelce had 980 yards, and we talk about it like, what a garbage season. I mean, my God.
While dealing with multiple injuries.
Do better. What, 980 yards? How many teams in the NFL do you think have had a 980-yard receiver at tight end in the last 20 years in the league? Like five? The Chiefs twice with Tony Gonzalez and Travis Kelce. And then what? If you had Kittle... If you had Jimmy Graham in the 2 year run,
I'm looking at Sam.
Like, it's not that many.
Sam Laporta had 889 yards last year,
and we talked about, like, he was God's gift.
Sam
he had a great
Laporta
year.
Was amazing.
Yeah, he was a rookie. That's why he got love. But
true.
Yeah.
He had a slow start, and then he really took off in like October, November. But he played, you know, all 17 games, 10 yards of reception, 889 yards. So yes, to your point, Cody, it's not like these guys are hitting at the same rate that receivers are, you know, and they have to be asked to block and like be on time with the quarterback and kind of be the security blanket outlet. So yeah, if you could get, you know, I should look up what Hayden Hurst had last year. He's had a little bit of a decline over the last 2 years, if my memory is correct, but he's a veteran guy. He's 30.
Player last year that had the really kind of scary, bizarre, like he couldn't remember something for two or three days?
Yeah.
That might
or
be
a week
case.
Or whatever. Was that Hayden Hurst? You guys kind of know what
I'm talking about. In 2020, he had 571 yards.
414 2 years ago for Cincinnati.
Yeah, and then he played for, I mean, my God, one of the worst offenses I've seen in quite some time in Carolina.
Yeah.
Where, you know, the Chase, my man, not Chase Young, Bryce Young, couldn't see anybody downfield because I have no, like, name a Carolina Panther lineman. Name one.
Well, now they have Hunt. He's not going to be able to see over him.
Didn't they just spend $300 million on?
They got a guard lineman that he can't see over. Yeah, one of the tallest guards in football now. That seemed like a genius decision in Carolina.
I'm looking up the starting lineup, dog. Oh.
Nobody's.
Oh, this is so bad.
Xavier Leggett.
They don't even have a right guard.
Is
on
there
pro
a wide
football
receiver now?
Reference because they didn't have one that started enough games.
Oh boy, that can't be good.
Yeah, their offensive line was utterly nonsense. Hey, DJ Chark though had a nice season, 525 yards, couple touch.
I would like you to know, since you had mentioned the possibility of a Creed Humphrey extension, that I am Hunter Norzad and I, we're enemies until they extend Creed Humphrey. We're enemies. He's competition for my guy. We're enemies.
He's out of
We're enemies until there's an extension.
I don't think you have to worry about him.
I told Cody.
I'm sorry, Hunter, but I don't think we got to worry about. Baby, you ain't got to worry about him. he's really nice. You ain't got to worry about him.
He's Allegretti.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
And I told Cody.
We're doing great for Allegretti.
Right.
I told Cody earlier today. Remember this conversation today, April 30th of 2024, when Hunter.
He did nothing to me.
When he is filling in for a spot start at right guard in the Super Bowl 61, don't try to jump on the bandwagon then. Don't jump on that then.
As soon as Creed signs his extension this offseason, we're good. We're good, Hunter. No problems.
Do you think the Chiefs come to Creed and his agents and say, hey, you know, Jason Kelce, again, the former center for the Philadelphia Eagles, you know, he made $14.2 million last year. That's our offer. By the way, which was the highest in the league. That's our offer. And if Creed them say no.
Well, we know
you got Hunter. We can turn to Hunter at any moment.
Here's our draft list from this year. You noticed a couple offensive linemen on there.
Did you see where he played last year? Center. He played at center. By the way, doesn't Creed, like, every player's a little bit different.
Yeah.
But having gotten to know Creed enough over the last 4 years, he seems like the kind of guy that would just take the 14.2. Like, yeah, sounds good, fellas.
I mean,
he seems like he would like to just, like, live a pretty chill life where he gets to show up at a WWE event every once in a while, stand behind Patrick Mahomes, collect his 14 mil, and move on.
Yeah, to be top five, just for context, to be top five at center in the league right now, you're roughly making about $12.5 million.
So you take 14.
Yeah, so 14.
Four.
14 gets you the number one spot right now. And look, these are guys who are 28, 33. 33, 27, 31, 27.
It's a wide range.
Go all the way down. Creed Humphrey's 26. Woo. So, yeah, a lot of things are in Creed Humphrey's favor.
I always, like, the snapping thing is real, and I think some of the fans have shifted to, like, is that the guy they need to pay because of the snapping? But I just want to make it very clear.
Do you have the greatest quarterback we've ever seen?
Yeah, but also, that's the first time in his entire career where that's been an issue. Uh-huh. And ask if I went to the front office of every single team and ask their top 30 scouts which center they would want on their team. Ooh. 28 out of 30 would say Creed. Like, if that percentage likes your guy, you should probably just trust it.
I mean, I remember when Ryan Lindsley was really good, guys. He's 33 and he's making $12.5 million. This is just the way the league works, guys.
Yeah.
And he switched teams. He went to the Chargers. So, like, you know, it happens.
I also think the snap stuff sorts itself out. If the Chiefs were truly concerned that the snapping couldn't be fixed, then they won't give him an extension. Like, it's that simple. So, like, to me, it sorts itself out. If they were actually concerned about it, then I think we'd be hearing a lot more noise. Whether he was hurt, whether it was the yips, something was up, I'm assuming they believe the snapping can be corrected. All right, we only have a couple minutes left. Nate Taylor of The Athletic. Just wanted to get your thoughts on what's going on right now in Topeka. We know that there is a bill that is expected to be voted on at some point today, final day of the legislative session. Both the Senate and the House are in recess, the Senate for another 10 minutes and then the House till 3 o'clock, for a plan potentially to be put in place to have a plenty of financing options to lure the Chiefs and or Royals to Kansas, including up to 100% financing via a major sports, major star bond district for a professional sports team.
I told you guys. If Missouri fumbled this thing, they're going to pick it up and take it to the crib.
Yeah.
Told you guys.
Well, the big winner on April 2nd, we said, was not the people that celebrated April 2nd. The big winner was the Chiefs and the Royals.
We have gotten a live camera of Laura Kelly's house that night. I mean, what was she doing?
She's looking like that guy getting ready to hustle people with Dave and Buster's. Just cracking her knuckles, sitting back, ready to roll.
You guys want to play? No, honestly, it creates sort of the bidding war. And it must be nice for Clark Hunt to understand that, you know, he's going to get money significantly from the state of Kansas. If that's where he
he can get billions of dollars.
Wants to go. Again, Arrowhead has until, 2031?
Yep.
2031. You know, it's in some ways it'll be sad in the moment because, you know, they've built it. The Chiefs have built this or coined this as, like, you know, the Lambeau Field of the AFC, you know, the Fenway Park of football. You know, this is our Wrigley Field to an extent. And then you're going to walk into one of the most gaudy-looking sports venues you can imagine. And that's how it works, kids. The Indianapolis Colts used to play at the RCA Dome. Is RCA still here?
I don't think
so. No! Lucas Oil is what Peyton Manning built. And it kind of, you know, it's another thing that sort of tells you your status in the sport. Peyton Manning built that building, and Patrick Mahomes will do the same if
Giannis
Kansas.
Giannis in Milwaukee, too.
Time to build the palace. We'll see what happens later on today. Again, tomorrow, 10 a.m., we'll be talking more about it, I'm sure, as the expectation is. At some point this afternoon or evening, they will vote on that bill in the Kansas legislature. Nate Taylor of The Athletic, great stuff as always. We didn't get a chance to talk about it, but people can check out. You got an article about offensive lineman and Mims that the Chiefs were interested in. Perhaps.
Yeah, they tried to trade up. They trade up until they found a builder, found a deal maker, which was the Buffalo Bills. But okay, whatever. But the Cincinnati Bengals were like, hello, no, get out of here.
The Drive with C-Dot and Rob coming up next.